Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Today is, you have to check and see, look at the calendar, find out what year. I am having a problem with my computer today, and it's just started up just in the last 10 minutes or so, and we may have some bumpy, it's the second day of December in any case. Wednesday, and year 2015, year of our Lord, there is something wrong with my computer, and I don't know what's going to happen here, and we may have, before we're done, we may have some odd things happen, even stranger than usual. Let's start with the morning report. Takes me back to the Army. Market report. Gold. Down $17.30 today to $1,052.50. Silver's down 17 cents to $14.09 per ounce. Platinum, is down $8 to $834 per ounce. Palladium is down $13 to $529 per ounce. Been a bad day all around for precious metals. Dow Jones is down 167 points, almost 168 to 17,720. NASDAQ is down 35 points to $5,121. New York Stock Exchange is down 126 points to 10,393. U.S. dollar is up 0.19. to an even 100 on the U.S. dollar index. Crude oil is down $1.76 to $40.09 per barrel. So basically a down day for just about everything. The only thing I see on there's about 17 indicators that are here in front of me, they are virtually all down to some degree with the exception of the U.S. dollar index. That's the only one that's up, and it's not up a lot. Wendy Wilson is our guest today from Apothecary Herbs. And hello, Wendy, are you there?
Hello, Al. How are you?
Oh, I'm having problems today. I'm not got my computer. I'm going to get some herbs and spices from you to put in my computer so it continues to function properly. How are you
maybe
doing?
Maybe it's got a virus, you know? Maybe
Maybe it does. I don't know. I was gone for about an hour and a half, and the computer was fine when I left, and I came back, and it wasn't on. It stopped on its own, and I turned it on, and I mean, it's taken, I can't tell you, it took 15 minutes probably to get this thing up to where it's running, and even now it's running slow. Something is in the computer, and I hope it doesn't jump us during the course of the program. I can figure it out later on. What you got for us today?
Oh, well, I thought we'd talk about the what we call the critical prosthetics. We've got some bionic artificial organs and limbs, and I'm going to on differences and what we can also see down the road, you know, because there's been, Al, there's been this explosion in the field of bionic body parts. So artificial organs and prosthetics have you given patients options in regards to, you know, replacing failing or missing organs or limbs. But there's this new generation of bionic limbs that feature what we call touch bionics, and they are called iLimb. So the bionics have kind of extended uses due to new software, new microcompressors, better battery packs, smaller, lighter parts, etc. So this makes for a new generation of bionics more efficient, user-friendly, and more lifelike. Now, the Smithsonian says that bionics is really the next step to improving our bodies because body parts are now replaceable. Oh, I can see the line forming. What do you think, Al?
Yeah, I know. Where do we sign up? How far can this go?
This is going to go pretty far.
What are the probabilities that people are going to sign up to get bionic limbs?
Oh.
And I suppose some people will. I mean,
You
have people that
the younger generation. Yeah, the younger generation are enamored with all the superhero stuff. So I think they have in their head that they could, you know, become something like that with this new generation of technology that's coming out. Right now, the biotech industry produces bionic spleens, pancreases, lungs, eyes, ears, and limbs. This industry has really made it possible for quadriplegics to have control over their limbs when they use a brain implant to bypass the broken circuit of the spinal cord. So, I mean, you know, there's some benefits, obviously. But the creepy stuff's coming down the road, and we're going to get into that. Do you remember in the 70s, Al, that TV series, The $6 Million Man, starring Lee Majors? Remember that?
Yeah, I remember. Sure.
Yeah. Well, for those of you out there that may have missed the show, Lee Majors played an accident patient outfitted with new technology to give him extraordinary abilities, and he became a spy secret weapon for the military. But today, bionic limbs are a reality where patients can control their mechanical limb through electrodes, which are stimulated by their muscular signals from the patient itself. Now, in 2013, near London, scientists were assembling a lot of these artificial organs and creating bionic components. They wanted to build the first bionic man. So this was a documentary that was on the Smithsonian Channel back in October of 2013. So today, the bionic man is all assembled, and at this stage, he is switched on, and he is operated through a computer with special software, but scientists are trying to learn how to replace the human nervous system with their circuits and plastic and other parts. But, you know, bioethicists have reservations about this collection of artificial organs which function together, creating a single bionic man. They are putting the brakes on a little bit.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about this bionic man that, if I understand correctly, has already been created, is this bionic man a robot? Or is this bionic man at least in part human?
No, it's right now this bionic man we're referring to is all machine. It's like a robot. Yeah.
Right.
Actually, the managing director of the Bionic Man Project, his name's Rich Walker, he says how much of a human being can be replaced is still being considered and still be considered human. Big question mark, you know? So there's this line in the sand that they're crossing, you know, the gray area. Now, skeptics are kind of laughing at this concept of bionic man. You know, it won't be a reality. It won't be of use. But technology is being developed now to take, get this, Al, the human consciousness and plant it into an artificial human, a robot, bionic man, cyborg, whatever you want to call it, upon the natural death of a person. Supposedly, to help that person live on indefinitely inside a mechanical body. So this project, Al, is known as Atom and Eve, and Atom is spelled A-T-O-M. And its developers are anticipating having full operation use of this business model, specializing in transferring human consciousness into, well, what is essentially a robot, in about 30 years. So the company is called Humai, and their mission statement is to, quote, reinvent the afterlife.
Do you have any idea of what kind of consciousness they're going to implant? What I mean by that is this.
Yeah.
If they were going to implant my consciousness into some sort of a robot, mm-hmm. would they be implanting my memories or merely my, you know, whatever intellectual or emotional capacities that I have? It'd be that, but I'd be like a newborn baby that it'd have to be completely re-educated, or do they get,
no.
or would I keep my memories and so on?
Yeah, you keep your memories. Their goal is to just take your personality and put it in a machine, you know? And
yeah, how would they know for sure? You know, I mean, this sounds like sort of thing where you could just, okay, what do you got, lady? Well, my husband died, and what was he? Was he kind of cranky in his old age? Uh-huh. Okay, Bill, one cranky coming up. You know,
yeah,
how do you know this is really you, and how do they know it's really you, and how do they know that it's not just some software counterfeit?
I don't know. It's really bizarre, for sure. And the point is, maybe they don't care how accurate it is. But right now, Humai, the company, is really working on nanotechnology that can also repair the brain as it gets older, you know, improve on your brain cells. So they actually have a service to sell before you die and after you die. And
the bill that keeps on coming, you know.
It's absolutely.
Billion before you die, we keep billion. The debt doesn't die when you die, as long as your conscience.
That reminded me of that movie Death Becomes Her with Bruce Willis and Goldie Hawn, where Bruce Willis was a plastic surgeon. And he married these two women, got divorced, and these two women were obsessed with living forever. And so they made a pact with the devil, basically, and they were living forever. And everybody else that they knew and cared about was, you know, aging and dying. And then they were left, you know, with nobody that they knew or cared about them. So who wants to live forever, you know?
Well, we all do. I mean, that's one of the ideas behind Christianity.
Well, the
and
point
most
is,
religions that you'll be able to live forever, but you don't necessarily want to live forever while the war in this world.
Yeah,
you might
this
want to
is
live
true.
Forever in the We're, next one, but this one
yeah.
maybe not, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, it does go against our Creator's word, and his word stands. A man is appointed once to die. So, you know, Humai may not get their wish with their service. Well, let's talk about some of the enhancements, though, real quick. You know, the general population is real comfortable with, you know, your average knee or hip replacement, even though, you know, these are artificial joints, but they're not bionics. The problem comes in, though, when technology advancement in these body parts start to set people apart. So no one seems to have a problem with, you know, artificial parts, you know, to give someone maybe who lost their vision the ability to have their eyesight back, or amputees to walk again. That's not the issue. If the enhancements, though, allow humans to gain what would appear to be superhuman capabilities, this is where the bioethicists and the theologians have concern. So when science starts to make people seem less human and more robotic like machines, this can be more than a cause for debate. So there's this chatter, Al, that the implants could turn the human brain into what is called a semi-organic supercomputer, or to give people enhanced senses. So the area of prosthetics that's emerging for amputees with the more sophisticated products, they're called it's a company called Biome, and they have been resolving some problems with amputees that, you know, they get some chafing and some sores when they wear their limbs. So they're developing a way to incorporate the prosthetic directly into the human body surgically. So you're going to see the prosthetic integration on the horizon, because they're doing this right now at Johns Hopkins lab. So they want to assure that the integrated limbs work properly, so they're exploring ways of hooking up the nervous system to the limb to avoid a required internet connection that could be hacked. Can you imagine somebody hacking your limb, Al?
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? While you enter into a race and you don't win and you complain to the referee that somebody hacked into my leg while I was running?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. Well, so, you know, they're looking to establish a direct uplink interface to the brain, basically. This is what John Donahue, he's the director at Brown University's Restorative and Regenerative Medicine. He says, there will come a time when a person who has a stroke, if it can't be repaired biologically, they will have the option to get a technology treatment that will rewire their brain. Wow.
This would be kind of like getting a guy with a hard hat sitting there next to a manhole where he's just kind of weaving these wires back together.
I don't know. I have visions of a welder.
I don't know if you catch the image there or not, but it's just, we're going to rewire you. Now, you just hold still, sir. We're going to drill a hole here, and we'll rewire your brain. We should be out of here in just a couple hours.
Yeah, I had visions of, you know, the OR with the welder slapping down his mask and, you know, sparks flying.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's problems, though, Al. The man-made devices are causing some problems for medicine because the immune system reacts to them, causing scar tissue or adhesions, and this tends to restrict normal functions. So, and another problem is that artificial organs of this nature, or parts that they plug into the body, the blood likes to clot around foreign objects. So what they're exploring is new coatings for these devices to help the body accept the artificial part without having those reactions occur. So who knows what that's going to do.
This is so bizarre. This is so bizarre. I feel like I'm in a Monty Python skit or something. It's just
I know. Well, hey, the real funny is coming, and also the money, because as things get more sophisticated with technology, they get more expensive. Now, according to Worcester Polytechnic Institute, a robotic arm can cost you between $20,000 and $120,000. So most insurance companies question the expense of a bionic device as being medically necessary, and they right now only pay 50% to 80% on a traditional prosthetic. Now, some insurance plans only allow one prosthetic limb per patient during their entire lifetime. The technology advances continue, so the costs are coming down, and there's this one company called Open Bionics. They've looked into affordable replacement parts, creating those parts with the 3D printer.
Yep.
So they hope to, they are lowering the cost of a bionic part from $100,000 to $3,000. They can custom fit it. They can make it any color you want. You can even design it with family photos or tattoos. Some of the limbs can have special features, probably an upgrade where your limb glows in the dark like a flashlight or plays music for you, okay? They can even have special compartments where you can store your flash drive or your lipstick. But the real astonishing story was a Scottish man who lost his private part in a childhood accident, and they made him a replacement, a bionic one.
You know, somehow, it just doesn't seem like it would be the same to me. I don't know, but
well,
they're going to have to advance their software program quite a bit before I'm convinced.
Well, the thing is, if bionic you-know-whats are coming on the market, I guess it's time to sell the Viagra stock. What do you think?
That's probably right. Who needs Viagra when you got bionic?
I'm telling you. It's crazy. I just think people should, you know, really work hard to protect their existing organs, cleanse and nourish, good nutrition, and get the toxins out. It really lifts the burden so the organ can regenerate itself. And that's what we do at Apothecary Herbs. We help people figure that out. So if people are thinking about organ cleansing, want to learn how to do it, we'll show you the proper and safe way. They can visit us online at thepowerherbs.com, or they can call for a free product catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. I hope you were entertained, Al.
Oh, I was definitely. This is one of your best ones, Wendy.
Okay.
this was...
I don't know. I'm a little bit flabbergasted. I'm trying to find a word for it. This is just so strange.
It is. It's going to get
like
more
we're
bizarre.
Gonna live to see it. It looks like many of us are going to live to see it.
Well, it gets more bizarre as it goes along. And if you remember, Al, because I know you read your Bible, this is kind of similar in history where, you know, mankind thousands of years ago was quite advanced. And, you know, God mentioned it in Genesis 11, you know, because the people were all of one language. They began to know how to do things. They were unrestrained. They can do anything they imagine to do. And that's why the Tower of Babel, and they got all the languages to slow them down. Well, we've got Apple and Samsung have come out with a translation software where you can have a conversation out one-on-one, real-time with somebody, and when you speak, they hear you in their language, and when they speak, you hear them in yours.
I understand. I could have used that with my first wife. We could have used one of those. We would both be speaking the same language. Wendy, we're going to have to thank you for your information and move on into the commercials. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Thank you, Wendy. Talk to you next Wednesday. Let's take a break, a couple commercials. I'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adusk, and here we are on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Here's a report from AFP, which is the French news outlet. New coal plants would tip Earth to dangerous warming. That's the headline. While scientists agree humanity needs to phase out coal within 35 years, thousands of new plants are being planned that would doom hopes of keeping global warming to safer levels. Greenhouse gas emitted by these 2,440 potential plants around the world, there's over 2,000 plants that are proposed and might happen, and they are warning that the greenhouse gases that they would emit on top of those already in operation would breach the UN target of restricting the planet's temperature rise. Well, I don't like to be impressed by the UN's target. I don't trust, I have enough problems trusting the government of the United States without trying to trust the United Nations as well. I would feel more comfortable with these targets if they were established by independent nations rather than a single United Nation. All right? Because, in part, if we had a target that was established, one that was established by England, another one by the United States, and another one by China, and another one by Australia and Argentina, and so on, well, there'd be a variety of results. And we would have an opportunity to look these over and see who was actually coming up with the best predictions and for what reasons. What did they use for their formula for making these predictions? What did someone else use? Why should we believe Argentina, for example, rather than, Egypt? Let's compare their formulas and see what they came up with. Because no one really knows what's going on. But if you allow yourself to accept data coming from just a single source like the United Nations on an issue as critical as global warming, whether it is or is not taking place, then people in positions of power within the United Nations can lead you to believe conclusions that are actually false. I'd like the alternative. What does London have to say about this? What's Washington have to say about it? I'm not going to necessarily agree with any of them, but I'd like a variety to pick from. I don't like the idea of the UN setting a target. It's not the worst thing that could happen in all the world. And it might be if the UN target, in addition to, dozen, 20, 50, 100 other national targets. All right. It gives us something to talk about and debate. But just one source is an authority that it must be obeyed. All right, that one becomes a kind of sovereign everyone has to pay attention to. The article continues. It says members of the United Nations are striving for a pact to keep warming under 2 degrees Celsius, 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, higher than pre-industrial levels. Now that sounds like wishful thinking to me. They're saying they want to keep the amount of warming in this country in the world to no more than 4 degrees Fahrenheit, just roughly, as compared to what the world's temperature was back in, say, the 1700s. I think that ship has sailed. All right? I don't think they can do it. It's an interesting goal. I have no objection to it. But I'm really wondering if that's even plausible. It may be. This is not an issue that I study, but I'm going to bet that there's some evidence for those who believe in global warming that we've already exceeded that limit. And there will be other people who say, no, we haven't, and there's maybe global cooling. There's all sorts of debate on this, but I don't know. They're striving for a pact to keep it under 2 degrees Celsius or 4 degrees Fahrenheit. Good luck with that. I don't know that it makes much sense. There is a solution to this issue of too many coal plants on the books. Cancel them. That's according to Peter von Brevoort of Ecosfis, an energy research organization that's part of the CAT project. Renewable energy and stricter pollution standards.
are making coal plants obsolete around the world. And the earlier a coal plant is taken out of the planning process, the less it will cost. And this really is getting to the heart of the reason I'm bringing this article to your attention. Coal business does not look that it's going to last much longer. They have they've used a prediction in the beginning. They say, while scientists agree humanity needs to phase out coal within 35 years. Well, 35 years, maybe they can we continue to use coal for a whole 35 years? Coal is catching a lot of flack, all right, from a number of different sources. And it's the sort of thing where they agree that we ought to phase it out by 35 years. I can't help wondering if coal is going to be gone in 15. It appears to me that coal is not the best investment that you can get into right now. It appears to me that the demand for coal is likely to fall. The legal ability to use coal is likely to decline. We'll watch and see. They may keep coal around simply because maybe the numbers, maybe the mathematics behind the coal are sufficient to make coal so efficient, so cost efficient, that we have to continue using it for a number of years. But my main point is this, my main point to this article is that coal is facing a lot of trouble. And I would say, and I'd follow up and say that even, and so is crude oil. I think the future appears to me to be in renewable energy, and that's one of the points that they make in this article. And one of the people quoted, he says, renewables are so cheap that it doesn't make sense to deploy carbon capture and storage technology. It's simply too expensive. What they're talking about is we could keep using coal if we could devise technology that could pull the carbon and the soot and the carbon dioxide out of the exhaust from the coal plants. We'll keep using coal if we can find a way to extract the harmful, what are deemed to be harmful substances from the exhaust from the coal plant. Yeah, if we can get that out of the smokestacks and prevent it from going into the atmosphere, then we could continue to use coal. But what this guy is saying, look, renewables are so cheap that, you know, it doesn't make sense to deploy this capture and storage technology. Too expensive. Yeah, he continues, from the CO2 emissions reduction perspective, we are better off going to renewables and efficiency. Renewable energy is generally defined as energy that comes from resources that are naturally replenished on a human time scale, such as sunlight, wind, rain, tides, waves, and geothermal heat. Renewable energy replaces conventional fuels in four distinct areas: electricity generation, air and water heating, cooling, motor fuels, and rural, and they define as off-grid energy services. So I think renewable energy is almost certainly the future here, and you need to think twice if you want to put a long-term investment into coal. And that is the sort of comment that I anticipated, I expected, I baited my hook talking about coal, betting that someone from West Virginia would call. And I'm trying to guess who would call from West Virginia on the issue of the use of coal, and it's Jim. How you doing, Jim?
Oh, I'm doing good. Let me toss in some things about coal. That's one thing I do know about, believe me. I've been in coal-fired plants and all this jazz, coal preparation plants, you name it. Lived, eat, and breathe coal for like 25 years. Any rate, coal is still the lowest cost per calorie.
Yeah.
When you figure everything, figure construction costs for nuclear or anything else.
Yeah.
Number two is that, once again, I'm going to say this again, you've heard it before, you burn a pound of carbon, 100%, 14,450 BTUs. When green plants take the carbon in the form of carbon dioxide, turn it back into carbon inside the plant, it pulls out exactly 14,450 BTUs out of the environment. So it is temperature neutral, unlike nuclear, which makes heat. Okay, in those global warming, people don't say anything about nuclear power. You take mass, make heat out of it, Nobody's running around gobbling up heat and turning it back into mass. I don't think it's possible. Greenhouse gases. There's no such thing as a material that allows heat to go one way and not the other. Were there such a critter, you can make panels of it, put it on a house in the wintertime throughout the heating system. Flip them over in the summertime throughout the air conditioning. No. It would be like a heat pump which ran on zero energy. I'm sorry. And that's a flies in the face of all known physics. And physics is all about, and chemistry too, all about the study of energy. And to put a little bow on this one, anybody who has a big greenhouse generally goes out and buys a CO2 monitor. Because the CO2 level drops below a certain amount in the greenhouse, the plants don't grow. So I think we ought to take coal-fired plants. And I've worked on the control systems for the, I can't remember their names. Oh, I could just kick myself. Precipitators to precipitate out the ash and this, that, and the other. But, you know, take the carbon dioxide and send it to a greenhouse. You know, so this whole coal thing is ridiculous insofar as investment's concerned. I have a sneaking suspicion. And I know big oil's trying to shut down coal, but I have a sneaking suspicion that with coal prices, stock prices down at the very basement, that, George Soros bought up a bunch of coal stock. So we're going to see it come romping back sooner or later, but not in the very near future. Because right now this whole country's going into recession. Energy use is dropping. And incidentally, I think the House and the Senate have passed a bill that says forget the EPA plan for shutting down coal plants. I just heard that today or yesterday, can't remember when. And it strikes me as though Mr. Obama will naturally veto it. We'll see if they override it. But the EPA is a private corporation. They have no more right to shut a coal plant down than I have.
Okay.
So as far as I'm concerned, like if I had a coal plant, EPA shows up and say, I don't want to do business with you. I don't think so. But it's just that simple. Is when everybody figures out the whole scam, listen, you know and I know that global warming is a red herring. It's an excuse to shut down Western economies.
It's not just shut them down, but control them and march people around. I mean, it's a pretext. It's like 9/11. We didn't simply have an attack take place in this country that collapsed a couple of buildings. We had recreated a pretext for government to grab a bunch of power. I would say the same thing is true with global warming.
Exactly. You know, if Lyndon Johnson, if these politicians would ever tell the truth, if Lyndon Johnson had gone before the American people and said, I want to start a big old war over there in Vietnam because my friends in the oil business, they want to suck the Mekong Delta dry. And I got Lady Bird's family owns Bell Helicopters, and they want to sell a bunch of some campaign donors want to make military gear, and the boys over at the Federal Reserve want to put this country more into debt so we can eventually crush it. Do you think for one minute we would have gone to that war? I don't think so. Once again, it boils down to truth and lies. Truth, the whole global warming thing is about killing Western economies and trying to march us into one world government. It's an excuse, a pretext, a lie, just like 9/11.
Why do you think they want to kill the Western economies?
They work, okay, this is like churning. In other words, they want to build up an economy and then harvest it. Crash the economy so they can buy pennies on the dollar.
That might be true, I'll tell you what my guess is, and
sure,
it's only a guess. I'd say they'd like to collapse the big Western economies because they're the only ones that are really strong enough to defeat the New World Order.
Oh,
for
yes.
example, is there going to be a New World Order if we get somebody like enough people like Donald Trump, and I'm not necessarily advocating Trump, but I'm just saying, if he takes over in this country as president, we get enough like him in the Congress and whatever, I'm not saying it's likely, but could the New World Order still prosper, or do they have to knock us out before the New World Order can really step in?
I think they're trying to crush the West because the West will fight them.
Yeah.
Also, there was a gal who was the head of this conference out there in Paris who said this isn't about global warming. This is all of these guys are all here because of economic pressures at home. And I can explain that if you're interested.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you save that explanation? It's time for another batch of commercials, and we can have an explanation of why you believe that's happening when we return from about 2.5 minutes of commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival, and I'm here with Jim from West Virginia, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. I'm talking to Jim, caller from West Virginia. We've been talking about, the idea that the global warming allegations may be false and simply used as a pretext to gain power over the people of the United States and of the world, and Jim had something he wanted to explain. And Jim, what was that?
Well, before I go off on that one, the reason for all this big old meeting over there in Paris, there are two things I feel compelled to mention. Most people do not understand this, but if you have a coal-fired plant, any big coal furnace, you put an oxygen sensor, actually several of them in there, to sense how much oxygen goes up the stack. And you want very little oxygen going up the stack. You do not want an oxidizing environment. Also, if there's too much oxygen, that means that you're heating air that is not being used to burn coal. So they try to create a stoichiometric burn, which means just the exact right amount of air for that particular BTU content of coal. That said, the coal burning technology is much better now than it was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, my God. So that's one thing. Another one, every time that energy gets expensive, the Patriot community seems to fall prey to this. All these free energy scams come out. It looks like perpetual motion machines. Forget it. I've probably in the last, because I live, eat, and breathe electronics, I would say in the last 40 years, I've had maybe 80, maybe 100 people approach me with at least 35 different wonderful ideas. Oh, you do this, that, and the other. And I walked in on one demonstration, man, it was a trip. I won't get involved in the details. Shut that guy down. But at any rate, the story of the cars that run on water will not die. If you take electrodes, put it into water, you'll get hydrogen oxide. You can burn that, but it takes a little more energy going into that than you get out in the way of hydrogen oxide. And there's been all kinds of research which, as soon as the big oil boys get out of the way, maybe we'll see some cold fusion, zero-point, renewable, wonderful new energy sources.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I'll tell you one thing I've talked about on the program, I think, in the past time or two. A friend of mine, Terry Lofton, he's passed on. Terry Lofton was buying law books, and he bought them by the truckload when he'd go to SMU Law Library when they were having a sale of all the old books. I helped him load a pickup truck, filled the bed full of law books. I don't know that he ever read them, but he collected them. He wound up going to an estate sale, and at the estate sale, he acquired a three loose leaf folders, all right, set of the Federal Reserve's operation manual. Now, it was dated, wasn't brand new, but whoever had that estate must have been connected where they let him take a copy home. If you want to see it now, you can go to the Federal Reserve. You can view the Federal Reserve operations manual, last I heard, for about a half hour. They won't let you take notes. They won't let you make copies. You can look at it for a half hour. When you get done, put it down. You can come back in a year or so, 6 months, whatever. You could look at it again. But it's almost impossible to get a copy. He had the copy, and he found, reading it, he found a number of strange things, including at the time that particular copy of the operations manual was issued, that the Federal Reserve would not approve. They discouraged making loans to people using alternative energy. And the only energy industry loans that they would allow were those that were made to coal, oil, or nuclear. And this was back, I mean, this took place, I knew Terry back in the 1990s, so it's 20 years ago. And the operations manual might have been 10 years old at the time. But my point is, they were controlling energy production in the United States by determining who would and who would not get loans.
Oh yeah.
So,
well, I'll take it two more steps. Back in the 70s, maybe the 80s, there were some West Virginia boys who were, you know, roughnecks, oil well drilling people.
Yep.
Been around the oil fields. They went out west to drill for geothermal energy. And out of nowhere, this guy shows up from Washington and says, "Shut her down." Well, a couple of them West Virginia boys found him in a motel and poured a few drinks in him and found out that, well, as people in Congress, the coal, oil, gas people don't want you doing this. So they shut down geothermal at that time. There's also another, I won't go into the details, deal in the in New England where they're planning on burning wood chips. In other words, like, you know, sawmill waste. And yep. They were going to have a wood grinder for sawmill slabs and grind it up into form a fine sawdust and spray it like you spray coal. Because you can grind coal up face powder fine and just blow it into a fire, okay?
Yep.
And that got shut down. Matter of fact, Congress even passed a law that nobody could make any more creosote in America for the environment, of course. And that had to do with the fact that some people were planning on putting together a wood chip-fired electric plant. Power plant had two burners on it, one natural gas and the other with wood chips. That got shut down despite all the money they put into it. So, yeah, it's all about control. Matter of fact, carbide, during the 70s, my dad was a patent agent for carbide, okay?
And Union Carbide?
Yeah, Union Carbide. And incidentally, they were good guys in the chemical industry. They would not knowingly produce poisons or weapons, but for whatever reasons, they looked into a few things and decided it wasn't worth it to try to go after alternate energy things because they get shut down by the government. But there was, you know, he'd look at all the patents come across the, you know, showing up every week or so, and he'd look for things which, maybe we can make something out of this. But a couple projects were kind of ditched because they said, if we do this, it's inviting God knows what from the Justice Department or whatever.
Why do you think the government is so interested in controlling the amount of energy and the kind of energy that people have access to?
You control economies with energy. You control populations with food.
Just a question of controlling the economies.
Oh, yeah, it's all about controlling the economy, controlling people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about gun control, people control. It's not about emissions control. It's about people control.
Yeah.
Everything's about people control. Get us out of the cars, like Rockefeller said back in the early 70s. Make a cashless society. It's all about control. That's all it is. All is people control. It's not currency control. It's people control. Everything's people control.
I agree.
Now, this group of people meeting in Paris, okay, in the simplest explanation, I'd say, and I'm rough numbers here, folks. Please, my memory don't work too good. I've been off the net for 2 years. Okay, roughly about 150 of the 170 countries, or 170, 190, however many, are controlled by counterfeiters, central banks, who work with each other. Now, that is the framework for the one world government. Joan Vian did a little DVD, when bankers run the world. But essentially, we're seeing the battle between the devil's currency and God's money is what we're seeing.
Yep.
And all these people are joined in there in Paris because all the banksters in their little countries, home countries, Federal Reserve is our central counterfeiting operation. They're all run by counterfeiters, pretty much. Well, Syria supposedly doesn't have a central bank run by counterfeiters. That's why they're under attack. But at any rate, that's the deal. They're being blackmailed. You guys go here and try to shove this thing down their throats, or else we'll crash your economy. Because once they get control of the economy, once they get control of the currency and the credit, that's control. And something a lot of people don't even realize about bankers. A small Midwest town, let's say, using that as an example. There's a farmer. He needs to borrow money for fuel in the spring and for seed. Money's tight. And so the bank says, yeah, I'll loan you the money, but you got to buy your farm supplies from Joe's farm supply, not Fred's farm supply. So a lot of times you'll have little tyrannies like this.
Mm-hmm.
It is innate to banking. And incidentally, if you watch It's a Wonderful Life,
yep,
that is a bunch of propaganda, folks. Just like To Kill a Mockingbird is a propaganda. But It's a Wonderful Life is propaganda because when you take money and put it into a bank, they don't loan that out to somebody else. That's illegal. So just understand that It's a Wonderful Life was a propaganda movie, okay, folks? Just examine it carefully, and you'll see what I'm saying.
I look back at a lot of movies that I have enjoyed over the years. And
yeah.
As you get older, you begin to realize, you know, that wasn't just entertaining, was it?
No, it's programming.
In a form of that's right. There was a kind of education, a kind of programming there. And I'm not saying that I fell for the programming. I didn't notice I was programmed per se, but I have to admit that they appeared to be manipulating values. I don't know that you can get away with that. Can you make a movie that doesn't push values one way or the other?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I'll be honest with you. Shakespeare, you know.
Yeah.
But all jokes aside, until this ruling empire, and it's shooting itself in the foot. I was listening to Lord Monckton. He was there in Paris. He was talking to Alex Jones. And he says he thinks they're pretty much reaching the high water mark of their influence.
Yeah.
Because everybody's seeing through their BS.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the Rockefellers didn't control our government, we would have a lot more energy options, and I almost guarantee you there's suppressed energy, which people are not bringing out because they know it would never fly as long as the coal, oil, gas, Federal Reserve, like you said, the operating manual, and nuclear, as long as they're together, we're not going to see much alternate energy. So that's my little dissertation on coal. One of these days I've got an 8 or 10 point diatribe I'm going to say about corporations masquerading as governments, but that's for another day.
Yeah, we've got time to do a couple of points. Do a couple of points now and save a couple of points for later.
Okay.
Like
if all these governments are corporate,
a little left over here, we can keep it in the refrigerator and we'll bring it out on Friday or something.
Okay, let's say the EPA is a private corporation.
Yeah.
Let's say the West Virginia Department of Natural Resources is a private corporation. They can have a contract between the two of them, and it's nobody's dang business what that contract says. And there are tons of secret contracts in between government agencies because they're all corporations.
Yep.
Not too many people know that.
Very few people do it. For what it's worth, guy, another man who passed on, Gary Graham, he was a great researcher. He did some wonderful stuff. He got into the Department of Fish and Wildlife, or the Texas equivalent for that. And what he was surprised to see, I don't remember how he got in there, but what he was surprised to see is they had wall-to-wall cabinets, filing cabinets, filled up with contracts where they had entered into contractual relationships with other governmental entities.
Yep.
They weren't, and the point was, and he saw this back in the 90s, the point was, much very surprising at the time, but these entities were not working together as a government bound by law. They're working together as a cartel, essentially, bound by corporate agreements.
Well, does the FBI have a license to do business in your state?
No.
Does the EPA have a license to do business in your state? Okay, they're privately traded corporations.
Yeah.
Corporations are supposed to pay corporate income tax, do they?
No.
No oversight.
No.
So that's a few points. Maybe we'll hit a few others some other time.
You can bet that they've got agreements with the... They've got their own filing cabinets full of contracts, and some of them are perhaps with the Internal Revenue Service.
Yep. They're all corporations.
That's what you speculate. Yeah, yeah.
So when we start seeing that and tell them, no, Mr. EPA, we don't want to do business with you, totally, and there's no oversight on them. It's a privately traded corporation, subsidiary of state governments and federal governments, corporations. When people start seeing through the whole scam, it's got to come apart. I just... don't want it to be too violent. But it's all going to come apart, folks. There's no choice. And then maybe we can rebuild from there. It'll take maybe a generation or so. Well, does that help? Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it does. I think, are we talking, if we're going to be rebuilding, do we need to learn how to make stone arrowheads again? Can we start flints? Start chipping them? We start there and then rebuild the technology? You know, it is strange.
Well,
depend on our technologies, and much of it is submerged. It's taken for granted. It's not even studied. And how many people could build a Model A Ford right now?
How many people could build a ballpoint pen?
Oh, I understand. We have incorporated the technology, but we've lost the understanding of it in many regards. I mean, if this thing goes down, we almost have to start out from a surprising low level. It's not just a question of put some extra gas in the generator. You're going to have to learn how to rebuild the generator, which means you're going to have to learn how to refine, seal, and copper, and so on. If it goes down, it's a terrible situation. Where are we for time? Well, we've got a minute and a half. Anything else you'd like to add before we...
Well, there's a little movie I called The Road. It's a scary movie, but it may give you a little glimpse of kind of like a Mad Max sort of a thing. The Road. Yeah. I'll let you go.
All right, Jim, thank you. Appreciate your call. We are actually, we got about 20 seconds left, which means I... All right, I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I hope you will tune in again tomorrow when we shall return. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Jim from West Virginia. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.